welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello, and welcome back to the program that helps you improve your American English. I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. We come to you 7 days a week with interesting stories from around the world. We present them in a way that is easy to understand. We speak a little slower than normal, and we use fewer and easier words. Today, we have some important information about a possible new treatment for AIDS. Then, in about 5 minutes, we will tell you about a woman who has won a big prize for her work in preventing too many fish from being caught in the ocean. Let's get started with part one. Researchers in the United States are calling it a big deal. Next year, human tests could lead to a new treatment for AIDS. It is being called an innovative and creative treatment. It changes the DNA of cells to make them HIV fighters. The treatment has protected monkeys from a primate type of the immune disorder. Anna Mateo brings the news to Learning English.
Researchers in the United States are changing healthy muscle cells to make them produce genetic information that could possibly neutralize HIV, the virus that causes AIDS in humans. Scientists at Scripps Research Institute in Jupiter, Florida, tested the treatment on a type of monkey. The immune systems of these monkeys were repeatedly exposed to simian immunodeficiency virus, the primate version of HIV. The animals never became infected after a treatment to change the muscle cells. Michael Farzan is the lead researcher on the project. He and his team administered the virus to the monkeys in increasing amounts. They started with a dose that easily passes SIV to the untreated monkeys in the control group. But the treated monkeys remained uninfected. Then the scientists doubled the dose for each re-exposure to the virus. Mr. Farzan said even monkeys that received 16 times the usual dose were protected. They did not get infected with SIV.
We continue to administer the virus, doubling the dose each time. We've now gone to with six doses that were capable of infecting control animals, we've gone to 16 times that.
Traditional vaccines train the immune system to recognize and destroy disease. But experimental AIDS vaccines fail at this because the virus is always mutating or changing to avoid destruction. HIV and SIV are both able to do this because of a surface protein that mutates to avoid the body's immune system. Mr. Farzan says this new drug treatment is based on tricking HIV. The drug tricks HIV into exposing this important viral surface protein. The experimental compound attaches to the part of the virus that is always mutating to avoid the immune system. Once attached, a second protein makes the virus self-destruct. The virus never has a chance to infect cells.
Because HIV is sort of fooled into thinking that it's binding the cell, it undergoes the changes that it would normally do when it's ready to enter a cell. And those changes, if it's not near a cell, inactivate the virus.
The muscle cells continually produce cells that fool the virus into self-destruction. Mr. Farzan says the compound has the potential both to protect against infection with HIV and to fight the virus in infected people. The team wants to begin testing human patients who are not able to take antiretroviral drugs. The researchers published their findings in the journal Nature. According to the World Health Organization, almost 78 million people have been infected with the HIV virus. About 39 million people have died of HIV. In 2013 alone, 35 million people were living with HIV or AIDS, and 1.5 million died from AIDS. The virus still affects sub-Saharan Africa more severely than any other part of the world. Nearly one in every 20 adults there is living with HIV. This represents almost 71% of the people living with HIV worldwide. I'm Ana Mateo.
You are listening to VOA, the Voice of America, and we are coming to you from Washington. A leading American supporter of a method to prevent overfishing has won a major environmental prize. Jane Lubchenco served as head of the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration between 2009 and 2013. Bob Doty tells us about her and the award.
Ms. Lubchenco supported programs known as Catch Shares when she led the administration, also known as NOAA. Catch Shares set maximum levels, or the largest amount of fish that can be caught in a given area. Then the legally permitted catch is divided among fishermen. Supporters say Catch Shares stop what they call a race to the bottom. In other words, fishermen try to catch as much as possible without considering the future of the fish population. With catch shares, fishermen's takes increase as the population recovers and grows. Jane Lubchenco credits these programs with strengthening fish populations in the United States.
From 2000 to 2013, we went from having 92 overfished stocks to 40. And we went from having zero rebuilt stocks to 34. It gives us incredible hope that we can replicate those successes elsewhere and really end overfishing at the global scale.
Critics say catch shares can force smaller fishermen out of the market. They say catch share programs also raise barriers to people just getting started in the industry. 17 U.S. fisheries are in catch share programs, and more are in development. Ms. Lubchenco will share the $200,000 Tyler Prize for Environmental Achievement with Madhav Godgill of Goa University in India. Mr. Godgill was recognized for involving local communities in environmental protection. I'm Bob Doty.
And I'm Jim Tedder in Washington. Stay with us. This is VOA, the Voice of America.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. A new satellite is traveling 1.5 million kilometers over a 110-day period to enter an orbit of the sun. It is called DSCVR, the Deep Space Climate Observatory. It will replace a satellite that has been observing space weather. DSCVR will begin its work during the worst of the 11-year-long solar cycle. This is a time when extreme weather on the sun can have the greatest effect on planet Earth. DSCVR will gather information about a continuing flow of particles from the sun. We are protected from these particles by the Earth's magnetic field and atmosphere, but we are not fully protected from what scientists call coronal mass ejections. These are strong storms that can happen on the sun's surface. Thomas Berger is the director of the Space Weather Prediction Center at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, or NOAA. He says these ejections are much more dangerous than solar particles. He says the coronal mass ejections are extremely large magnetic clouds that are expelled from the sun at extremely high speeds. He says when they impact Earth, it is like a hurricane impacting Earth in terms of space weather. Balanced space weather can make electric systems stop working. It can block satellite signals to Earth. It can interfere with radio signals and air travel. Mr. Berger says we cannot stop the ejections from affecting us, but we can prepare for them if we know when they will happen. When the DSCVR satellite records an ejection, it will release a warning. Mr. Berger says the warning will provide NOAA about 15 to 60 minutes to let people know that a very strong storm is coming in to the Earth. He says that is enough time for power grid operators to take protective action. He says it is also enough time for workers to place satellites on a safe operating method if necessary. Mr. Berger says scientists would like even more time, of course. He says researchers are developing instruments that will give an earlier warning. The warnings from DSCVR will be for the whole planet. But Mr. Berger says a new system may be able to give more targeted warnings. He says future models will be able to tell exactly what part of the world will be more at risk from a solar storm. That means that for the first time, humans will get both a warning that a magnetic storm is heading towards Earth and information about where it is likely to hit. And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. For more environment, science, and agriculture reports, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com. I'm Marcia James.